take our text tonight. And I've got a great big long introduction tonight and about a 10-minute message. If you will bear with me, what did you say? I heard Jerome say, I heard that. I'm telling you, see, I can't hear, but the Holy Ghost related that to me. Little birdie, the Holy Ghost got little birdies that lets a preacher know what's going on, what's being said. And I do hope you'll bear with me, and I mean that. And I'll try to bring us something that I think we need. And I don't know how many of us have it. I don't know if I've got it. But I think I'm beginning to get it. And if I ever get it, look out. It's on for sure enough in here, what I'm preaching on tonight. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John, we're going back there. And Lord willing, Brother Hall wants to get back to 1 John and 1 Peter as well and begin preaching a little bit. I'm not saying preaching through the books, but I'm going to preach some things in it as God leads me and lays on my heart. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. 1 John chapter 1, and when you find your place there, let's all stand together, please, and we'll read our text together tonight. 1 John and chapter number 1. I want to begin reading, for the sake of reading, in verse number 1, where the Bible says there, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, for the good service this morning. The high spirit that I felt in the house of God and the hearts of your people. Thank you, Lord, for tonight, the good service tonight, the good singing. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your people. It's my desire that you would bless those that are away from us tonight, sick. Those, Lord, that are unable to be here, I pray for them in a special way. I'd ask you tonight, Father, to bless the preacher. As I stand to preach thy word, you've called me. And I pray that you'll anoint me with the oil of gladness. And Lord, give me great wisdom and insight and holy power. May the Spirit of God open hearts tonight. And may sinners be called out of darkness into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And may your people find great help and joy from the word of God. And from the fact that they've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. I pray for liberty and divine help, and we'll thank you for it. Help us to glorify your wonderful name. You're worthy of that, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I'm sure you know the verse Brother Hall is going to be trying to speak from tonight out of verse number 4. Is where John writing here to these believers. It does not say that there's a particular church involved in his writing here. He's simply writing to those that have believed the gospel and been saved by the grace of God. And he writes these words, "And these things write we unto you." Now, I didn't write that. John said he wrote that. And his purpose for writing this is that your joy may be full. Again, I did not write that.
John wrote that under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And so apparently it is the will of God for you and I that have been to Calvary and know that we're redeemed by His precious blood, that we or that our joy that He's given us might be full. And so I want to preach for a little while on that thought tonight, our full joy. May I say, it's not in my introductory remarks, but I want to say it, that full does mean full. If you go to the gas pumps and fill your vehicle up with gasoline and you say, I want it filled up, and the fellow puts in a half a tank and charges you for a full tank, you got shortchanged. Your tank did not get full. He didn't say that you may have a half a tank. He said, these things I write unto you, that your joy, love, joy, and peace, that virtue joy that God has given you, that joy might be full. Fullness of joy is something which I believe everybody desires to have. I don't think there's anyone in here that would deny that. As a child of God, and by the way, you need to understand what joy is. Joy is not just a sudden outburst of emotion. Joy is a virtue as much as love is. And joy is expressed in the way that we live, in our character, in our conduct, in the way we live. It's not just some sudden emotional outburst and then it vanishes away. It is something that stays with us. We know the Bible said in Nehemiah that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And so I might say this, that your Christian joy is your energy. And so if you feel like you're running out of energy, if you're running out of gas, it may be because your joy has been depleted from your Christian life. And if it has, shame on us. We have no one to blame but ourselves if we have lost the joy of the Lord. We have nobody to blame but ourselves. Because He makes it plain that He's writing these things that our joy might be full. And so I'm taking that what is written in the five chapters of 1 John is put there that our joy might be full. That is right. Now, I think everybody desires it, but I'm afraid that very few people attain to it. And I think that it may sound difficult to explain why few people arrive at that, but I really believe that it's very simple. Listen carefully. We're seeking in the wrong places. We're looking for joy in the wrong places. Listen carefully. Many of God's people are guilty of making the same mistake. In the pride of their heart, they want to find something in self to rejoice in. That's right, in the pride of our heart. Isn't it amazing that the preacher preached on pride this morning? And I'm confident that he is right about pride. And in the pride of our heart, we're trying to look at something within ourselves that we can find to rejoice in. Something that we have done. Something that we have accomplished. Something that we have attained in life. I've known of preachers that I really believe that their joy doesn't come from the Lord, but it comes from the fact that God has helped them build a large ministry, and they're rejoicing in the ministry rather than in the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with God blessing and giving a great ministry. I think God has really unfolded a marvelous ministry for Island Ford Baptist Church. Praise God, we own two radio stations and a transmitter and have over $1 million worth of property that we own. I don't think we've done too bad for a bunch of Kentucky hillbillies. But I'm telling you, I'm not rejoicing tonight in what I have attained. I'm not rejoicing in the ministry that God provided. We've got the shoe on the wrong foot and the horse before the cart. We need to rejoice tonight in the Lord rather than in ourselves and what we have accomplished for the glory and honor of God. Now, I know that's exactly right. We find something in ourselves to rejoice in. Listen carefully. In yielding to the spirit of legality. Now don't leave me. I'm talking about the spirit of separation. They look for happiness in their own experiences, in their own attainments. To do this is to miss the substance and chase the shadows. Now I'm afraid that a lot of people tonight, rather than laying hold of the substance, they're chasing the shadows, and I'll assure you that you can chase the shadow all you want to, and it will never provide the happiness that God wants you to have in your Christian life. It was Charles Spurgeon that said, too many people are satisfied with the hickory nut. They play with it all day long. Thank God we've got a hickory nut. But they don't have enough sense to realize that on the inside of that hickory nut is a kernel. And that kernel is where the flavor's at. That kernel is where we need to get to. And there's a whole lot of Baptists tonight that are playing around on the outside of their salvation and rejoicing, now get this, in the things that God has blessed us with. And we're missing the real substance of our joy because we ought to be rejoicing in Him, in the blesser, rather than in what God has blessed us with.
Amen.
Come on in the house now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In other words, we ought to rejoice in Him.
Amen.
Praise God, He's worthy.
Amen.
He is worthy. To rejoice in. By the way, you can't have full joy unless you learn to rejoice. Listen carefully. Philippians 4:4, the Bible said, rejoice in the Lord always. And then Paul turned right around and said, again, I say rejoice. Now, he didn't say rejoice in the Lord always. Not in everything that we're doing. There are some things we do we certainly couldn't rejoice in the Lord in. But He said, rejoice in the Lord always. That means all the time. Praise God. Just rejoice in the Lord all of the time. I'm here to tell you that He has written these things that our joy might be full, ladies and gentlemen. And if you ever get full of it, I'll guarantee you, hallelujah, somewhere, somehow, someplace in your spiritual being, that joy will overflow and will become rejoicing in your heart unto the Lord. Now, real happiness is bound up in Him. I'm talking about in the Lord Jesus, buddy. That's where it's found.
Amen.
If you're chasing anything else tonight, you're chasing a dream, and you'll wake up and realize that you've missed something one of these days. I woke up from one last night, and I was glad I got awake. I'm telling you, I fought Doberman Pinschers all night long last night at Brother Robert Vincent's house. I'm telling you, we was pouring concrete, and they had Dobermans. Them devils was trying to eat me up, and I got a ball bat. And got them off of me. And I was glad to wake up from that dream. And one of these days, if you ever wake up from your little dream and realize that the joy that God wants you to have is bound up in Christ and nobody else.
Amen.
Nobody or nothing. It's in Him, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Young people want to try to find joy in the nightlife and the high life and the booze and the dope and the drugs, amen, and the opposite sex. But I'm here to tell you, it will dump you on an empty street someday. But the Lord will never dump you. He'll always prove to be your friend. Come on now. Somebody in here got a mouth besides your own? Say amen. Any joy that does not issue from fellowship with Him is a counterfeit.
Amen.
That Bible said that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now I'm telling you, anything that is not valid joy coming from the fellowship that we have with the Lord is a counterfeit, ladies and gentlemen. Just counterfeit gold.
Amen.
Copper gold.
Right.
It will not last.
Amen.
And it will not provide. It will not produce. Come on now.
Yeah.
Help me out. When was the last time you really knew that you were fellowshipping with the Lord?
Amen.
Anything outside that is counterfeit. Praise God, I had a better time this morning than most people will have in 100 years.
Amen.
Them old boys got to play and those caissons go rolling along. I like to come unglued. Now Doug liked that other song. I'm going to mention what branch that crowd's from. Didn't have any of them anchors away boys in here. But hey, come on now. But I like to come unglued. I had a better time this morning than most people will have in a half a lifetime. I left here juiced up. Just about got boogered up. I believe I could get boogered up tonight if I get some help out of some of you. I'm telling you, if you'll read that book, 1 John, these things have we written unto you that your joy may be full. He's not just taking up space, ladies and gentlemen. 1 John was written that you might have the joy of the Lord in your heart and know where it's coming from and how to react, praise God, when God puts it there in your heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, stay with me. Psalm 5:11 says, but let all them, now I'm not reading from a catalog,
right.
But let all them that put their trust in thee, I'm not going to say the next word, everybody in here got their trust in him.
Amen.
Let all them that put their trust in thee, mullygrub. Let all them that put their trust in thee, rejoice. That's the Bible. I didn't write that. God wrote that. Are you trusting in Him tonight?
Yes.
Praise God, He'll never let you down.
Yes.
He's a solid rock. He's a firm foundation.
Yes.
I'll guarantee He's a strong arm to lean upon.
Yes.
He's your high tower. He's your rock. Amen. He's your defense.
Yes.
I'll guarantee you He'll never let you down, ladies and gentlemen. Are you trusting in Him? The Bible said, let all them that trust in thee rejoice. Hallelujah. Now, if you think that's something, you wait till I read the rest of that verse. You wait till I read the rest of it. Let them ever shout for joy. Oh, come on, Brother Hall. Surely not. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Let them ever shout for joy. Because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the Lord is our defense.
Amen.
Do you realize tonight if the devil had his way, he would swallow you up tonight into the pit of hell and you would rot there for all time and eternity. Amen. And I don't think a lot of Baptists understand the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that because He is alive tonight, you're alive also, and He is still our defense tonight. He stands on guard duty 24/7 around your soul to protect you from the onslaught of the devil. And if He wasn't there, the devil would drag you off into hell as sure as I'm standing here. The missionary asked me this morning, said, preacher, was you saved when you was in Vietnam? And I said, not hardly. I'm afraid if I'd have died over there, I put it like this, if I'd have died over there, I'd be in the boogeyman's house. As sure as I'm standing where I'm at, I'd be screaming in the charred walls of the dam.
Amen.
But oh, he showed mercy.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, the devil is ever our adversary.
Amen.
And sin is ever our adversary.
Yes.
And the world is always our adversary.
Amen.
And they're hot on your heels, but thank God there is a step between you and death, and God resides in that step, hallelujah, as a defense to your soul.
Yes.
Praise God. And we sit around, praise God, like Jesus hadn't done nothing for us.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Come on in the house now. Psalm 32:11 said, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, O ye upright in heart." Can I ask y'all something tonight? How many folks in here are righteous? How many folks in here have imparted righteousness? Imputed righteousness. How many heirs have imputed righteousness? Are you righteous? If you are, my Bible tells me. And I'll get to John in just a minute. Don't think I'm not going there. I'll get there.
Amen.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous.
Amen.
And shout for joy.
Amen.
Oh, ye upright in heart. And then that little old verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, what's it say, Brother Jerome? Rejoice evermore.
Amen.
Praise God, I'm talking about from beginning to end. And the only way you can rejoice is if your joy is full.
Amen.
Is that right or not?
Amen.
Some of you young boys in here think they're fun in hot rods. I used to think that too. When I drove around in that 51 Ford burnout and sat on concrete blocks, son, I'm telling you, I thought I was big time ready to go. I pulled up down there at the schoolhouse, sitting on them concrete blocks, and I'm talking about it was charred walls from front to rear, buddy, side to side. Glasses burst out of it. It got so hot it blowed every glass in it out but the windshield and the rear window. I rolled in down there sitting on three concrete blocks, two on the bottom and one sitting on top of them in the middle. Praise God. I rolled in, I said, "Hallelujah, here I am." And I thought I was real sharp. You know what I'm saying? I thought every girl in there would want to ride in that car. It's the most unusual automobile in the skirts in the school parking lot. But I'm going to tell you, you got within about 15 foot of it and it had an odor that smelled like it had just been brought up out of hell. Then I found out they didn't nobody want to ride in my 51 Ford. But I thought it was sharp. What are you saying? I'm saying there's letdowns in the things that we think will bring us happiness and bring us joy. There's letdowns in it.
Yeah.
I don't brag on sin no more. I don't brag on sin. I don't talk about sin no more than I have to. But you're looking at a man, and I don't mean to brag. I've tried everything that the devil and the world has to offer, and everything has let me down. But praise God, since I found Jesus, hallelujah to God, and I've set my affection on Him, I have found something that satisfies the longing of my soul, and He has never let me down. Can you believe that I had a 66 goat convertible? I'm talking about Raider Row. Wrecked it up on Boo Road in Austin, Indiana. Got it fixed, and like a lot of young boys, didn't want to pay my bills and lost it. And God only knows how much it would be worth today if I still had it. But I'll never forget one day, me and four or five boys, I thought that my friends was traveling out on further out on Boo Road. And all at once, that thing just went to wobbling and just dropped. The front wheel fell plumb off of it on the left front. You know what? Them boys said, "Well, we'll see." I said, "How am I going to get my car fixed?" They said, "It's not my automobile. That's your problem." I found when the rubber met the road, what I thought was bringing me some real happiness in life, I learned, ladies and gentlemen, that it let me down and there was really no joy in those fellas whatsoever. They let me down that day. Hallelujah. But when I met Jesus, since I met the Master, oh, since that glorious day, when heaven came down and glory filled my soul, praise God. I'm telling you, I've been trying to rejoice the best way I know how for the joy that the Lord has put in my heart. Praise the Lamb of God from whom all blessings flow. He is worthy of our praise and adoration tonight. He is worthy to us to sing to. He's worthy to be prayed to. He's worthy to be worshipped. He is worthy to be adored. He is worthy, ladies and gentlemen, to fellowship with. He is the most honorable, majestic person in all the universe. That's right. You know, we're stupid.
Amen.
I won't say that and run that by you. We are stupid.
Amen.
The most majestic, glorious person in all the universe
Amen.
Has made it possible for us to fellowship with Him.
Amen.
And we spend our time on little trifle things that never amount to a flip.
Amen.
I ain't talking about you, Flip.
Amen.
I guarantee if one of them little country stars some of you young folk in here know wears them black, big black round hats, and if they come strolling in here, you'd get down and garble at their feet like there's God.
Free.
Amen. Amen! But there's Jesus.
Yes.
Lord of the universe.
Amen.
King of the earth. Head of the church.
Yes.
Creator of all things. That has condescended and became humanity that we might fellowship with Him. And we let the days roll by and the weeks roll by and the months roll by without ever fellowshipping with Him, and we wonder. I guarantee you get in His presence. You get in His presence, things will change. Hallelujah. Now listen carefully what I'm getting ready to say. If we do not give unto Him who is so excellent in Himself and so gracious to us, that esteem which rises to the degree of rejoicing in Him, then we fail to render unto Him the honor that He is worthy of.
Amen.
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 That's right. You know what it would be equal to if our president come walking in here tonight and the first lady not come walking down the aisle said, "How you doing, George? Good to see you, pal." That wouldn't be showing him much honor, would it? He's the president of the United States. It burns me up when the news media calls him Bush. He's President Bush.
Yes, ever.
Amen, whether you like it or not. And it was President Clinton.
That's right.
We have lowered the standards of our bureaucrats and our rulers to Bush and Clinton. Last name, or George, or Bill, or Hillary.
Oh,
yeah. I don't care for many of them, but I'm telling you that their position demands some sort of, they are dignitaries, and it demands our respect to them. How much more the Son of God demands the respect and the honor that you and I, especially if we're saved tonight, and He showed us mercy and brought us out of a pit of hell and birthed us into the family of God, how much more should we honor Him?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God, brethren. I'm doing my best with it. While we seek God's favor in Christ and live in obedience to His will and rest in His love, we are warranted to keep a holy feast continually. Amen. It's just like Brother Doug's verse. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you what we're missing. We're missing a continual feast.
Amen.
I mean, think if our bodies could take it. We could just sit down and eat watermelon. Oh, we want to have. Or if we wanted to sit down and eat flounder.
Yeah.
Shrimp. What if we could sit down and eat all the fried taters and cornbread and pinto beans that we could put in our mouth and never, never, never fill up on it. Lasagna. That's what Benny likes. I like T-bones myself. I could sit down and eat a T-bone the size of this room. What a feast! But oh, what a spiritual feast! And I'm telling you that if we're resting in His love and trusting in His mercy and rejoicing in His hope, we have a continual feast in the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. Bread and fish upon the fire. Amen. It satisfied their heart's desire. Am I saying anything to anybody tonight? I want you to listen to me now. First, by setting forth... No, wait a minute. The phrase here, "These things write we unto you," speak of those things already spoken of. First, by setting forth of God's Son as incarnate and our saving apprehension of Him as such by His revelation to the saving, to the revelation of the soul as the Word of life. I want to run that by you one more time. He is writing what He has written to bring us joy is the fact that Christ has become incarnate. He has become incarnate. And in doing so, He made a way for us to apprehend Him that we might be saved. I want you to get a hold of that. Ladies and gentlemen, never before the birth of Christ had God ever been incarnate on the earth. But now the disciples have beheld Him as the Word of life. And oh, that Word of life has been revealed to them that He is the Word of life. And because it's been revealed, they can apprehend Him to the saving of their soul. And John said, hey, because of this, my Lord, I'm writing this that your joy might be full. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I won't get ahead of myself. He's simply saying, praise God, if you're saved tonight, you can rejoice because God has made a way for you to be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Remember that first time He revealed Himself to you? Opened up your blinded eyes like He did Bartimaeus. Remember when He cleansed your leprosy? Remember when He healed your ankles that didn't have strength to walk? Remember when you laid at the gate at the pool of Bethesda and had no man to help you in and Jesus came by? You remember when there was no man that cared for your soul and yet the Lord of glory became man, ladies and gentlemen, and came to earth that He might reveal God to sinners through Him. Hallelujah. Told Philip, said, if you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father.
That's right. Yep.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
What grace and what glory. Amen.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. Pull the veil back. John said, I'm right that your joy might be full because the Son of God has unveiled Himself.
Yeah.
He's revealed Himself. He's made Himself known to you.
Amen.
Do you remember Samson? Remember his mom and daddy? When that angel appeared unto her, and she said, the angel of the Lord's appeared unto us.
Amen.
The second time he showed up, they said, oh, we're going to die because we've seen the Lord.
Amen.
She didn't say that the first time. She said, we've seen an angel. Second time said, we've seen the Lord. You know why? He revealed Himself.
Right.
Amen.
He did wondrously when He consumed that sacrifice and revealed Himself.
Amen.
For who He was.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Some of you young ladies in here, remember the first time you saw Hubby Dub? And He revealed Himself for who He was. And you said, Lord, have mercy. This is the best looking thing I've ever seen in all my life. And you fluttered your eyes like that. And his heart went turned over backwards about four times. And he said, my, I've never seen a woman like this in all my life. I've got news for you. His eyes had seen 100,000 women. But on that day, I'll never forget that day. That fella asked me, he said, when was the first time you saw your wife? I said, buddy, you shouldn't ask me that. You're in for a long story. And I started telling him from beginning to end. But I had to tell him how I saw her on Man Avenue that day, heading up toward the house. And instantly my heart said, you're going to marry that girl. That's the one God's got for you right there. That's her. I'd seen thousands of women. Seen them. Didn't see none of them like I saw her.
Amen.
Woo! I'm telling you, on that morning when I got saved, I'd heard about the cross. I'd been told the story of Jesus' birth. I'd been told in Sunday school how He died and how He rose again from the grave. But all on that morning, that Sunday morning, He pulled the veil back and said, here I am. I have unveiled myself to you in all of my glory. Because I have, your joy can be full, friend.
Amen.
When He done that, He wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on now, somebody help me. Don't y'all die on me. Praise God, I don't have any candy to throw at you tonight. I got a pistol up. Got a handgun up here. I could shoot you. Oh, I'm on the air. Lord have mercy. Yes, I already said that. I found a verse of Scripture that got Brother Jerome this morning. It said, if we're righteous, we got the right to smite. I read it. It's in Psalms. He got lockjaw. He didn't know what to say. I had him.
Amen.
Now, secondly, in what has already been said, the actual enjoyment we have through our fellowship with Him. I've already mentioned that. Thirdly, things that you mentioned by the fullness of joy as the outcome. Can you get a hold of that? Because He has revealed Himself and we have apprehended Him as our Savior. And because we have fellowship with Him.
Amen.
I want everybody to look right up here. You know why I was late getting on the platform tonight? I was standing out there in that lobby talking to them men. And I was enjoying talking with them. We were just standing there fellowshipping. Just having a great time. And I enjoyed that.
Amen.
Tremendously. And I'm simply telling you that our fellowship that we have with Christ is what gives us that fullness
Amen.
Of joy.
Him.
Our fellowship with Him.
Yes, sir.
You ever just stood around and talked to Him? Somebody said, I can't see Him. He can see you.
Amen.
He can hear you.
Right.
And if you listen, He's got a still small voice.
Amen.
that can speak to your heart. I was kneeling down right on that chair up there last night praying and hadn't prayed for 2 minutes. And the Holy Ghost said, communion next Sunday night. I said, Lord, we're going to the Veterans Center. I said, communion next Sunday night. I wrestled with him through the whole prayer meeting. And as sure as I'm standing here, before it was over, he said the third time, communion next Sunday night.
Amen.
I said, I believe it will. What are you saying? I heard that still small voice.
Amen.
And I don't know what God might do around here next Sunday night, but if I was saved and prayed up, I wouldn't miss it.
Amen.
I told Brother Steve last night, I said, we may have communion and go out to the Mount of Olives and sing a hymn.
Yeah.
See, come on now. Our problem today is spiritual things don't stir us up anymore.
Yeah.
Now I'm fixing to prove that to you. Now y'all done made me mad now, so I just might as well go ahead and let it all go out. By the words these things write we unto you must also be regarded, including everything that follows. Just listen now. Come on now. In chapter 2 and verse number 1, he said, little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not.
Amen.
These things write I unto you that you sin not.
Amen.
Now don't nobody leave me here. This was issued as a warning to these people. And God issues it as a warning to you and I tonight. Let me find a place. If it's allowed and unrepented of, it will break our fellowship and quench the joy of the Lord within our soul. Now, I'm here to tell you, I don't have but one thing to say for us. I am afraid that one of the biggest problems that we're having in this church is the fact that there is sin in the camp somewhere in the house of God. I'm telling you that sin will quench your joy. S-I-N, sin. These things write unto you that you sin not. Why? Because I just told you these things I'm writing unto you that your joy may be full. And I'm now telling you that you sin not. And the reason I'm telling you is because sin will deprive you of the joy of the Lord in your life.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be murder.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to say this. Some of you in here got TVs, and I know that. But I'm almost to the persuasion that some of you had them, throwed them out, and got them back. Now I'm telling you, if you have, it's no wonder. It's no wonder your joy is gone. You cannot go back on God and be happy. What do you think that happened to Israel? The Red Sea, if it went back on God, no joy back there, buddy. Now I'm confident that some of you have done that very thing. And if you haven't done that, you've loaded up on DVDs and watched them.
Amen.
Now I've done hit the nail on the head.
Amen.
You can't lay out a church intentionally, whether it be Sunday school or church, and expect to have God's joy. It is sin. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, that ain't sin. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Come on in the house. I'm not talking about them folks that's homesick tonight. I'm not talking about that. I know people get sick. I understand that. But I'm talking about laying out, bless God, just lay out.
Right.
Yep.
Now I'm talking about setting I'm talking about setting that stinking television back in your house.
Yeah.
I'm just being, can I be honest with you? I've got more confidence in folks that never did get rid of it, and I have those that got rid of it and got it back.
Amen. Yes, sir.
There'd be no different if I lit up a Marlboro tonight. It'd be the same sin.
Great,
amen. Oh, you're the preacher. Praise God. What's the difference, friend? Sin, and whether it's you or me. And I'll say this to you, got them. If you sit with your mug up in that egg-sucking thing all the time, bless your heart, you're not going to come to church ready to worship and have any joy, because that sin that's flooded your mind will absolutely quench the joy of the Lord in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
You can't watch somebody kill somebody all the time.
Right.
You can't listen to cuss words all the time. You can't watch drinking all the time and nudity all the time. Amen. Everything else. Oh, boy, you wouldn't get happy, so praise God, you've done made me mad.
Praise Brother Holly.
I'm not done yet. We ain't finished with this portion of it, friend. There's some more things in there John's wrote about.
That's right. Amen.
See, I tried to give you a little joy and you sat there mugged up. Now I'm preaching on sin. Some of you start to get happy about it. I might just bear down, praise God, preach on a little bit more. Fighting among yourselves with husbands and wives, fighting and a feuding and a fussing. Bitter spirit and bitter heart. Somebody in the church towards somebody else. Come on now. Hope we ain't like Brother Matthias' church. Brother George had us to sing that song tonight and divided us up. That's the reason I wanted to come out here and sing in all the places. Brother Gene said the first church he took had 22, 11 on one side and 11 on the other. And they fought equal amount like a football team, and that's all they done was play football against one another. They fought constantly. Now, I hope we don't have none of that here. But I'm telling you that the devil is a master of planting bitterness in your heart or animosity in your heart, and he is a master of covering that thing up and letting it lay there unrepented of. And buddy, if you don't get a ride with God, forget the joy of the Lord. It's a gone thing from your life. And I said, preacher, you're getting rough. I'm going to get rougher too. Amen. Thank you, Benny. I thought you was lost there for a minute. Now listen carefully. Chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world. Somebody said, I wish folks had quit preaching on things. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So I might preach on things a little while here. Listen carefully. He is telling us that undue familiarity and inordinate affection with God's enemies, which is the world, will quench our joy. And buddy, I'm telling you, we have got familiarized with the world. Oh, it's got quieter than a church mouse. We've got real familiar with the world.
Amen.
We want to play the games of the world and expect to come to church and God turn the honey bucket over on us.
Right.
And it's not going to happen.
Amen.
I wouldn't be at all surprised. I has happened Friday to walk in up at McKenzie's Auto Parts, and that woman sat down and said, "Mom." And I looked up and there's a basketball game on. I said, I guarantee you, UK just got beat. She said, no, they didn't get beat. They gave it away. I said, my heart. She was really perturbed, boy. You know why? Her God got whooped.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, you can't get too familiar with the world.
Amen.
neither the things that are in the world. I don't want to deprive folks of everything or try to deprive them from them, but I'm telling you for your own benefit, the more you flirt with the world, the less joy you're going to have. You cannot straddle the fence, ladies and gentlemen. God's not going to allow you to have both sides of the fence, not your cake and your ice cream either. It is either God or it's the world, one of the two. I wouldn't be at all surprised some of you young people don't cruise them all. Now, I've preached against that for 19 years.
Amen.
They've been people down there killed, teenagers killed, cruising the stupid mall. Remember we got a boom, 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 boom. Car's sitting about 6 inches off the ground. Got wheels on them, bless God, look like tractor tires. And music booming so loud that it'd almost break the windows out of the vehicle if they had the windows rolled up. Yeah. And we get mixed up in something like that? You think that's not going to stick with you? I'm not telling you don't shop at Walmart. But Miss Patty, I went in Walmart before, or another department store, or a restaurant, and them have a song playing that I used to know. And I'd come out of there humming that song and stop and say, what am I doing? It'll get you, friend. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the love of the world will quench your joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Now, you may not think this is important, but I want you to listen. We must be ever on guard for false prophets, lest by their erroneous teaching our joy is again quenched. I won't say this to you, and I know some of them is probably listening tonight. But that crowd out there that believes in losing, falling from grace, they might get on emotional highs in their church and talk about how God moved in all. We just had a wonderful time. God really moved in. But I wonder how much peace they got in their heart when they turn out to lie tonight and lay their head on their pillow. When they entertain a doctrine that tells them that they can sin and go to hell. Oh, I'm telling you, buddy, false doctrine will rob you of your joy. I say this in love, but I watched my mother. I watched my mother, and I love my mother with all of my heart. But I watched my mother leave an old Methodist church and go to a Baptist church where I was saved, and I thank God for it. From there, she wasn't satisfied. You know why? She was looking for entertainment and something that she could do in order to fulfill her life with joy. And you can ask my wife, I'm telling a lie. She made the rounds of every interdenominational mess that you can think of, even in those where they were slain in the spirit and one thing or another. And I'm telling you, I walked in one night and my mama's dead, and I'm not talking about it. I loved her. She got baptized in a Baptist church. Got right and put all that stuff aside. Got right with God. And I'm thanking God for it. But I walked into church one night, Brother Steve, and I saw my mama laying on the floor between the pews, laying there just a groaning and going on. Somebody said, preacher, what was it? If you think that mess is not real, friend, if you think the devil ain't real, thank you, bud. I'm telling you, I saw my own mother with some kind of a spirit about her that had her what they call slain in the spirit. And buddy, she wasn't playing no game.
Oh, yeah.
Now you tell me how somebody can have joy when they don't even know what's going on. It's like somebody got drunk, woke up the next day and said, "Man, I really had a time last night." "Well, what'd you do?" "I don't remember." You don't remember, you don't whether you had a good time or a bad time. Come on in the house. Praise God, I'm telling you, you better be careful. That's why I'm careful of who I stand up there. And I'm telling you right now, if somebody gets up there and stands there and they're off on some tangent, some stupid mess, you better mark her down. I will set their tails down before the service is over.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Oh, you wouldn't do that and embarrass us." Yes, I would. If it embarrassed you, you ought to be embarrassed.
Amen. Go ahead, preacher. Amen.
I'm not about to let somebody get up there and minimize the doctrine of grace.
Amen. Amen.
That will rob you of your joy. I want to ask you something. Everybody in here, now just be honest, everybody in here that enjoys going to work and working 8, 10, 12 hours a day, raise your hand up. Miss Ruth enjoys work. I don't. That's why I like grace.
Amen.
He done the work. Sorry about that, huh? He done the work, and we rejoice in it. That's grace. How can anybody be happy that is laboring and working and laboring and working and laboring and working and trying to maintain what God done for them? No joy there, friend. Yeah, I see. Sissy's over here sound asleep. She asked me if she could preach tonight. Sister Sandy Wickson wanted to preach tonight, but she got sick. Now listen carefully. We cannot flirt with the world, tamper with sin, be involved in strange doctrine if we ever expect to maintain a fullness of joy.
Amen.
I'm about done. These things, 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal, that ye may what? That ye may know. That you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
I wrote this down. There can be no fullness of joy while we live in a state of uncertainty.
Amen.
Of our acceptance in the Beloved.
Amen.
An impossibility.
That's right.
For you to have real joy as long as you're doubting whether you're saved or not tonight. Hold on, I wrote three things down that will bring fullness of joy. Number one, being saved. Praise God, being saved by the grace of God. Number two, being sealed by the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. Son, if you know you're saved and know you're sealed, woo! Glory! Like the preacher said, another jar just sealed. Another jar just sealed.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah to God. Did you get happy knowing that you're saved and sealed?
Yeah.
There ain't nothing the devil can do about it.
Yeah.
Praise God, heaven bound with a hammer down.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing nobody can do about it.
Yeah.
Sealed into the day of redemption. That is until God buys its body out of the earth.
Amen.
And that third thing. Being saved, being sealed, and being surrendered. I'm talking about being sold out. There can be no joy, full joy, unless you're sold out. All the way, my daddy used to say, lock, stock, and barrel.
Right.
Wherever he got that from. Are you sold out tonight? Are you fully surrendered tonight? Are you sealed?
Great.
Getting quiet. Are you saved?
Great.
Now, I'm not saying you've got to come to church Tuesday night and jump every pew in the building, scream, hoot, and holler, and run the aisles. You missed a whole message if that's what you think. But the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
I'm not saying you'll come to church Sunday night and Tuesday night and jump the pews and run the aisles, but I am saying the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I'm saying unless you are providentially hindered, you'll be here. You know why? Strength.
Amen.
Come on in the house now. Saved, sealed, and sold out.
Amen.
To Him. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus.
Amen.
But to trust and obey.
Amen.
Let's stand together.